Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club, episode number 11. I am Colson Smith and I'm joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together and we educate each other on films. The films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week, we sit down and we watch a film and then we come in the studio and we talk all about it. This series is a little bit different as we've not been watching the films together. The aim of the podcast is to is to educate each other.
It just gets longer, which is quite amusing.
It does.
The aim of the podcast is to listen to your introduction.
The beauty of our podcast is that anyone can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the films at home and then come and join us on Thursday to listen to the podcast. This week's film is Lemony Snicket, A Series of Unfortunate Events. But before we get into that, a lot has happened in this week. Where do we start?
Well, we're back at work, aren't we?
We're back. The boys are back in town.
Back on the cobbles.
Alexa, play Peaches Reunited.
Don't, she might kick off now. She might play. She's always listening to you, Coulson, that Alexa. Freaks me out.
You were there first, Ben.
I was there first. Pioneer.
What was it like? Weird?
I don't, a bit, but having said that, queuing for the shop has been a bit weird.
Yeah.
So you kind of got used to, well, you queue for the shop, so then you just maintain the distance at work. They've got tape down, they've done it all brilliantly, you know, wash hand station, temperature when you go in, everything's very, very safe. Just a lot less people at work. I think that's probably the difference.
Yeah.
Is there's a lot less people, but it was very smooth, went very well. You know, it's a bit different, you keep 2 metres apart and whatever, but... Yeah, you know, I think what Corrie's good at is you deal with things very quickly there, don't you? Things change, you deal with them, and yeah, I think it'd be great. It's great that we've gone back. It'd be great to see everyone. It's great for everyone to go back, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think we're dead lucky to be doing it.
So, the highlight, obviously, for you, you're back in Manchester. That means two things. That means you've got work, and that also means you've got me and Jack.
So, I said you could come round to mine in the garden,
social distance.
And we had a little chat,
It was nice.
Catch up. I suppose we have been chatting anyway, haven't we?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there wasn't really anything to say.
It was just visual gags, wasn't it, really, that we were doing to each other?
I think the Zoom can do justice to your
face.
Your face. Because it's a tiny body on huge hair and beard. It's just enormous. It's like, it was like, it took me a while. I was just looking, I was quite fascinated. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know who's going to tame you.
Well, the beard's going to come off, but the hair will have to stay.
What?
Because they're not cutting
wise?
Hair.
I mean, are you getting a trimmer? Hedge garden
trimmer? I'm getting the trimmer. Work have said they'll give me a beard trimmer when I go back to work, which is next week.
Yeah. Because it's so hard to get one on Amazon Prime.
So I'm gonna use their... Because I only ever shave when I'm at work. So I'm going to use their trimmer, but they won't cut my hair. because they can't keep a social distance.
So you're going to have a very clean chin, but the big bush on the head?
The head will just be the same.
David Platt, who happens to be a barber.
Be a hairdresser, is not sorting his own hair out. So, yeah.
Coulson, obviously, is going back with completely different hair. Bright blonde.
Pulled back in today, pulled onto the drive, and next door's landscaper went, "Hey, back to work, have you?" I went, "Yeah, back now, not until next week." Mm. And he went, "Hey," he went, "What are they doing then about you?" I went, "Oh, it's just carrying on the same." And he went, "Has I always been blonde?" I went, no, thanks for noticing.
What are they doing about you?
What are they doing about you? Just you. What are they doing about you?
I mean, you've lost weight.
You've lost weight, you've dyed your hair blonde. What are they going to do about you?
Even my sister said, what happens about work? And I was like, well, I'm just going back to work.
But you were out of continuity, weren't you, Coulson?
I was as well.
You're the only person that wasn't. But you've shaved your beard and you've got grey hair.
I bought that greying hair shampoo. It works very well.
It's great. The old light in the hair. So it's a bit now, almost, you know, a cliche that you won't like. It's a bit like we're doing a Hannah Montana, because we're all living two worlds here. Because obviously, I've been to work and now I'm back at home. Ben's at the flat on his own. Jack's at the flat.
How are you linking Hannah Montana to COVID?
So it's best, but two lives is what I mean. So I've left the Manchester life now and I'm back at home. And when I'm at home, I have the PlayStation.
Yeah.
And when I'm on the PlayStation on Call of Duty, sometimes it pops up saying a certain somebody invites me to a game. And this name is Ben's Xbox account. I won't say what it is so he doesn't get millions of ads. But it pops up inviting me. So it's sometimes if I'm in a game, I don't join. And then when you exit the game, you're in your party and he just joins. And I think, oh, it's Ben. Ben's son is now best friends with me and all of my cricket club. he's coming in on the chat. He's loving it, isn't he, Ben?
Oh, he loves it. And he's got none of that adult thing where he thinks Coulson might want to pie him because he's an adult. He just goes, oh, no, keep going. Just spams the button.
Oh, invite, keep joined.
Whisper.
Yeah.
Hiya, face, emoji, face, joined. And then all I can hear him on the mic go, yeah, you're right, Coulson, because he shouts. He's got the headphones on, shouts, yes, Coulson, now, land, I'm going for that. loves it.
But is he a good player, though, then, Coles?
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. He's earned his stripes. Don't worry about that.
He lands. Yeah. He's bossing it. I have to say, Coulson, you've been great with him because he absolutely loves playing with you. He loves it.
Well, and then Ben gets on for a game. And the bit that I love is Ben's there, headset on. You know, there's people that he's never met. We're chatting. And literally, somebody could come up to Ben in a supermarket, chat like they're his best mate, and Ben wouldn't have a clue who they were. And if he went, we're playing on COD, Ben would be like, oh, yeah. You're all right.
Also, I've got no clue what I'm doing. I'm in a car. I'm shooting all sorts. I'm just talking rubbish on the mic. I'm all over the place. No clue. I'm colourblind. So I can't see half the people. So when they said there's a man over there in the building, can't see him. There's a man in a Land Rover. No clue. I'm working off sound. I can't see. It's a green landscape with people dressed in green. I'm just spamming, firing everywhere. Love it. I'm too old.
It feels like, you know, stuff is coming to a new normal. And I think it's nice that obviously we've got the podcast so we can be together. And
it's nice to edge, I think, for people to feel like we're all going back to work, we're getting scripts. It's always a nice feeling.
It's that second part of our life. Well, it's not the second part of our lives. It's work
Hannah Montana
coming
2.
Into our lives, literally.
Hannah Montana 2, the lockdown.
Speaking of great films like Hannah Montana, what a segment that is to talk about Lemony Snicket, a series of unfortunate events. So it is synopsis time. Lemony Snicket, A Series of Unfortunate Events, is a film that follows three orphans, the Baudelaire orphans, Klaus, Violet and Sunny. So what happens at the start of the film is they're greeted by a banker who tells them that their parents have died in a fire and their whole house has been burnt down. And the film basically follows them having their next step from losing their parents, where they go to meet their uncle, Count Olaf. Now, they've never heard of their uncle, Count Olaf, and Count Olaf is evil, and he is only with them for their inheritance, and they kind of get passed from carer to carer whilst they're being followed by Count Olaf. Now, there is a hell of a lot more to this film, but that will come out in conversation. Jack is shaking his head, doesn't look impressed. But I think that is the synopsis. That is the basis of the film, is that they're orphans. The person who wants their money is evil, and they're trying to find out who their actual family is, who their, you know, godparents are, next of kin is, however it is. Mm. Count Olaf, played by Jim Carrey, and he's very good, isn't he?
Comedy genius.
He is very good.
What do you think, Ben?
Jim Carrey? I'm reading about Jim Carrey being cast. Jim Carrey's cast because of Carrey's 11-year-old manager's son, Sammy, read the series and suggested him for the role to his manager. Oh. He said, Jim would be brilliant, this character. So his manager's son suggested him for the role. Yeah, he's very good. You know, that's what's so interesting. It's a very good story. It was a book, wasn't it?
Mm. It was a series of books.
Series of books, which are very successful.
But 12 books?
Yeah. And they were like, in the States, they were massive. Like, massive.
What's the other one that's quite big as well? That other movie?
They must be small. Because the film's like an hour and a half.
No. So, the page count of the film is based on three books, yeah?
Yeah.
And the page count of them three books is within hundreds of the first three Harry Potter books. So they put the first three books into an hour and 40 when Harry Potter, the first three books, is 7 hours. So that's what they condense into one film.
Hang on, tell me that again. So seven.
The first film is based on three books, yeah? Three of the Series of Unfortunate Event books.
Right.
The page count of those three books.
You've gone to the shop, hundreds. You've got a trolley. Half of the trolley's filled with sugar and some's filled with flour. You've also got three books and some Harry Potter and you're a wizard. How long do you have to wait for the bus?
Basically, Jack, they put three books into one film.
Into one film.
Whereas Harry Potter has three books in three films.
Right, okay.
So they condense... They condense a book into about 15 to 20 minutes segments.
So each segment... So the film is split into
that
the segments, really.
That must tell me that the book must be a bit shit. If you can if you can just shrink it to 20 minutes.
Now, Jack...
It's a bit shit, make it short.
It's in the top 10... So A Series of Unfortunate Events got bought out by Netflix 4 years ago. And it's going into its third season, and they're following all the books. And it is in Netflix top 10... of their own made shows that they've ever made. That's how many views they've had.
Is it? Have you seen any of that?
Yes.
I've seen it. I've seen the first half. He's not Jim Carrey.
But he's good. Neil Patrick Harris.
He's good. He's not Jim Carrey.
But he's not, yeah. From watching the film again, you realise how good he is. And how good is the makeup?
The makeup won an Oscar.
Yeah.
The look of the film's mint. The world of the film is mint. But Kerry's performance just bumps it because he carries that so well.
Producer Ben don't agree. Shaking his head.
He's shaking his head.
Yeah.
He doesn't carry. Oh my word! From the back, a little throwing of vegetables. Doesn't agree. Oh,
producer Ben, who seems to have turned into a film critic.
Doesn't
all of
like
a sudden.
It now. Oh, hello.
Get your mic out and join in.
There's some stars in it as well, aren't there? We spotted some stars,
big,
didn't we, Coulson?
Yeah.
There's one we didn't spot.
Who?
Oh.
Helena Bottom Carter.
Oh, what's her name?
I don't know. That came out.
Helena Bottom Carter.
Helena Bottom Carter.
Helena Bottom Carter. What's
your name? It came out quickly. It came... Helena... I can't
have another go.
Have another
go. I can't. Just say it.
Helena Bottom Harry Potter. Carter.
Bonham. Yes. Helena Bonham Carter.
Which there's a little bit more to. So,
who's she?
Originally.
Yeah, is she in it? You just said we didn't see her.
She plays Beatrice, who is one of the parents, and you only see her from the back of her head, and she's in one of the B-roll scenes. So, the back story to it, allegedly, is when they got the idea for the film, Jim Carrey was straight in on it because of the books and everything. And they had casted him and they got the two kids and they started filming. And originally, it was Tim Burton. So he was going to take the project on.
Oh, I can see that.
Seems very Tim Burton. Yeah. Doesn't it?
and Tim Burton pulled out, and it's not said why anywhere. I tried to find out why, and then the director who directed it, Brad Silberling, he took it over, and he basically said he was going to keep directing it like Tim Burton would, so he wanted to keep that sort of style, which is in the film, isn't it? You know, it's got that
very good,
scary, creepy,
wacky machines, kind of steampunk kind of vibe. Very well, yeah, very well realised. Great kind of like art to it, isn't there? Each set looks like a kind of like proper bit of art.
Yeah. I went to see this when it first came out in the cinema, actually. And I don't remember Hoffman in it, actually.
That was who I was going for.
Yeah, he's in it at the end, isn't he? He's the critic. That comes in. I thought Streep was very good. She took the part because her daughter read the books as well.
Oh, really?
Wasn't meant to be her, was it?
She was very good. Very good. She's bloody good.
Mm.
And then who else?
And
Billy Connolly.
Jim Carrey get along.
Billy Connolly.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's in it.
And Jim Carrey was starstruck working with Billy Connolly.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
That's because he used to obviously be a comic, didn't he? Jim Carrey, so.
The two kids, interestingly, so the casting director had held a massive casting to find the girl, and they'd seen hundreds and hundreds of kids. And they didn't have anyone that they liked for the girl. And she was in the gym, and she saw an advert in the gym, and it was this girl. And she basically had to ring up the office and say, who is this girl in this advert? And they was like, okay, this is a name. She's Australian. And she was like, oh, bugger, like, Australian, is that going to work? And literally, they rang her up, she did a self-tape, and they gave her the part because she was that good. So she's Australian, and he's from New Jersey.
Oh, really?
Baby was good.
Baby was good. Twins.
Baby good.
Baby was very good. That was a good comic bit, actually. So the film takes this. They get dropped off with Lemony Snicket, don't they? They get dropped off with Count Olaf.
Yeah.
Who is their closest, like, kin, isn't he?
Yeah.
After like third died. Cousin, fourth third time cousin, removed.
And he's worked out they're loading. He's going to get the money. Mm. And all he does through the film is try and kill him.
Yeah.
They've never heard of him, have they? They've never heard of their Count Olaf, third time cousin removed. So when they first go into his house, obviously his house is horrendous. Mm. Like, it looks like something out of a horror movie. And there's that opening kind of scene with them where he comes downstairs and he's an actor, isn't he, Count Olaf? Yeah. And the way he presents himself, he's scary, he's creepy. That's what he is. You know that line where he says, oh, you don't look very happy? And Klaus goes, well, our parents just died. And he goes, oh, yeah, right, give me it again.
Yes, I didn't think that was funny.
Give me the line again.
Hold on. I can try it again. I can try it a different way. Because I thought when I heard that, I wonder if that's Carrie. Yes, he turns around and goes, That's Carrie just going off on one, going, God. Oh, shit, I missed that.
Improvised. Completely.
Yeah.
The kid, the lad who played Klaus, has done quite a lot of American films, and he did an interview, and he said it was literally cameras one way, we say our lines and look at the floor because you couldn't not laugh. And he just said stuff, and when he stopped, you said something. There was no point in giving him a script. He just did it.
His electric chair, Joe.
Really? He's obviously just spent hours just doing that, hasn't he? Hours doing it.
When you watch them outtakes, the amount of shit that he got up to that they didn't put in, where, you know, he was a dinosaur for a whole day.
Well, I noticed on the outtakes as well, those actors that are in the scene, they obviously, to stop them from laughing, they just had to pretend to be asleep. And he just had to do something around the room. Because if they were awake and looking at him, there's not a chance in hell you wouldn't laugh. Jim Carrey's doing his bit in front of
you. You can hear them pissing themselves.
Your head falls off.
It's quite a thing, isn't it, to be that.
It must be petrifying as an actor.
To work with him, to know that he can go anywhere, completely improvised through the whole film.
About him, so you've got to play off him.
Because even with Connolly, Connolly looked like he was playing it fairly straight, but, you know, when he... So each time he's got to go and try to kill the children, he turns up as a different character, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So he's... Count Olaf gets caught.
they're sent to their next in line, basically.
Yeah.
Which is Uncle Monty.
Yeah.
Monty Montgomery. And Uncle Monty is a very nice family member. So it's obviously Uncle Monty who was meant to have the kids when they died. Mm-hmm. And he basically, the plan is to get them out of there as quick as they can. So they're going to Peru, they're packing their bags, and then turns up Stefano. Stefano comes to
I liked him, he's one of my favourites. He made me laugh.
Who was meant to be Italian, but I'd like some weird Canadian accent.
That's great, wasn't he? Great.
Weird and tash, weird hair.
Yeah. Stefano is one of the other characters that Jim Carrey plays as Count Olaf. And he's kind of a zoologist assistant.
Mm.
And he's just funny.
He's got no clue what he's doing.
No.
When he says to him to milk the snake, and he's going, them little udders are so hard to find.
Yeah, that was good. So he kills him, didn't he? He kills Billy Connolly.
Yeah, gone.
Gone.
On to the next one.
On to the next one. And then the next one after that, they run off, and then they get taken to... Is that Meryl Streep's character?
Meryl Streep, yeah.
Their aunt.
Who lives, like, on a rock, on a side of a cliff.
Yeah.
And she's scared of everything.
Yeah.
Petrified of everything. Yeah. And she's widowed. Her husband died. Hike.
Yeah.
But there's a little story below this, isn't there? Isn't it Ike? What you take? Isn't it Ike?
I think it's whichever way you pronounce it.
Pronounce?
It's a bit like favourite.
I love it. I will now pronounce you man and wife. So they go to her and she's scared stiff. But there's another story, isn't there, running under this, Coulson, about how the parents died. And they've all got a kind of looking glass. And there's another mystery. They all die in a fire, don't they?
Yeah. And it's how come the kids don't know the people that they're being put with. And it's clear that Uncle Montgomery and the aunt both knew their parents. Yeah. They were both very well connected. They even see a picture, don't they, of their parents with a group of people and Uncle Monty's in it. And, you know, but they haven't got these questions answered.
Mm.
So it's obvious that there's some underlined mystery.
But they won't talk about it either, will
they? Yeah, that's when you kind of get the question in your head of, was it a mysterious fire or have they been killed? It's at the auntie's house where Klaus finds out that Ike, not Hike, was investigating fires. So,
Hike. Hello, meet my friend Hike.
he kind of starts to, his brain's kind of clicking then, isn't it? And then they go out into the farmer's market with their auntie to get some fruit and veg so that they can cook a meal. And we meet Captain Sham,
which is the next character. He looks like a bit sort of like Popeye, isn't he?
Popeye, yeah.
With one leg.
He's brilliant, yeah. And the kids go, that's Count Olaf. He's got a tattoo on his ankle. And they pull up his leg and he's got a wooden leg.
No, that's the other guy.
That's the other guy.
They do it on that as well. He's got a tattoo on his ankle.
And then he's got the wooden leg and he looks really hurt when they expose his wooden leg, doesn't he? He's very good. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
So he cracks on to Meryl Streep's character, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And gets invited back. And they know Meryl Streep's going to be killed now.
Did you notice what he said, though, when they said, look, there's Count Olaf. And Meryl Streep goes, where? And he goes, where? Where is he? I'll give him a piece of my mind. I'll give him the old wax on, wax off.
Yes. Yeah.
You knew, didn't you, Coles, that was
a
reference?
Yeah, I knew wax. I've said it in Corrie.
I didn't know
what it was, and Joe Dattine had to explain it to me because I just kind of threw it away as a line. And he was like, "No, that's a quote from a famous film," and I was like, "Oh, okay." I like it when he talks. Whenever they talk about Count Olaf, like a Stefano, they'll talk about Count Olaf, and he'll go, "I've heard about him. The really good-looking actor."
So they go back.
A beast of a man.
She goes. She pies the kids and leaves them at the market. And goes back with him, doesn't she?
Mm. Yep.
And then the kids get back. She's not there. She's left a suicide note. She's in a cave.
Mm.
And she tells the story about how Hike had been killed by... What was he killed by?
Leeches.
And then they're out...
She's a grammar freak, isn't she?
Yes.
So she's a grammar freak. And when they read the letter... she's left them like a secret code.
What's Shepard laughing
just,
at?
Just that. That occupation. Hi, I'm Grammar Freak.
I'm sure that's what the degree is called.
I'm a Grammar Freak.
She's an odd character. She is an odd character.
Yeah.
And the kids spot this secret code left in the suicide note, which takes them to...
Curdled Cave, isn't it?
Yeah, Curdled Cave. I wanted to say Dawdle Dove, but I know that's in Dorset.
They save her, but they save her and they get in the boat, don't they, to be saved. And Tim Spall, the banker, comes along and they catch Count Olaf and the kids get taken away again and get taken to someone else.
No, that doesn't happen.
No, hang on.
That doesn't happen then.
So, Count Olaf rescues them when they're being attacked by the leeches because Meryl Streep's ate a banana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Count Olaf saves them, and then Timothy Small comes along and Worm from Harry Potter realises that Count Olaf is actually a responsible adult and says that he can have custody. So then... He does the play. He puts the play on.
What he says at the end says, you won't get their money unless you're married.
Yeah.
Because his plan was to kill the kids. And if he killed the kids, he wouldn't get the money.
But if he marries the underage girl, then it's fine. So he decides to do a play where they'll do a marriage ceremony and no one else will realise that it's real, but it will make it look like a play.
So he gets a judge in, doesn't he, to come and be the actress so that it is all legal and she has to sign a document. And they dangle their sister above a tower, don't they? And so she's like, if you don't do it, I'll kill your sister. Yeah. So she feels like she has to do it. But then Klaus von Hammersmark, whatever it is called, he has to... He saves the day, doesn't he? And he gets to the tower. He sees the little... spyglass thing, and he can see that Olaf has been setting fires with that thing.
Well, it's their house. It's on his. It's on his family home when he gets up there.
What?
Yeah, the fire. The pointer was on.
Yeah,
the last fire was on the family home.
Yeah.
You think if you burnt the house down, you'd move the pointer away, not give it away, wouldn't you? You'd just go, "Ooh, do you know what? Burn it down. Two people dead. I'll just move it away. No one will know." And the kid burns the marriage certificate, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, before they can arrest Olaf, he escapes, doesn't he? And then he escapes for book four, I guess, doesn't he?
No sequel?
Well, there was meant to be, and Carey wanted to do it, and the film didn't make enough money.
Oh, really?
Because it cost an absolute
It looks like a big budget film.
Yeah. Yeah.
It only made 200 mil, which is a lot, but it needed to be Harry Potter.
Yes.
Is what it needed to be.
I wonder how much it cost to make.
Well, none of it, Ben. Every single bit of it was shot in one studio in LA. They didn't do any exterior.
Oh my goodness. That whole
film was all shot in studio.
So that's all green screen then, basically.
Everything's green screen. Massive sets.
Yeah.
Massive sets and green screen.
Because I know that Tim Burton does that a lot, doesn't he? Rather than too much green screen, he does big sets, big built sets.
That's probably why he came off the job then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Because they wanted to do a bit of green screen, save some money.
So it would cost 140.
Bloody hell.
And it only made 200.
Right.
I wonder how much care he got paid.
60. I bet he'll have got a decent amount, but that's the reason it didn't get a sequel. But then it's interesting because the story's strong, the books are strong, and with the Netflix series thriving, obviously worked, but Netflix took a bit of a different approach to it. It's a lot more of a, it's a bit more Wes Anderson. It's a bit more of a kids
Did they
feel
sing
to
in
it.
The series?
Yeah. You'll have seen me watching it in the flat.
Yeah, it rings a bell. Because he's very musical type thing, yeah. Isn't it, Patrick Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as scary and creepy and dark as the film.
I got the sense that the books are probably quite dark and scary. Yeah. Like those old kind of like fairy tales, Grimm's fairy tales. Yeah. I got the feeling like the parents have died and Olaf's trying to kill them. I thought it's all a bit
which
dark.
Is what it is, isn't it? Yeah. That is the story. So,
but I suppose it's because Nickelodeon got hold of it. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know
how Nickelodeon came in, you know.
What they made
Paramount
the film.
And Universal and then Nickelodeon, which is such a random combination.
But if you've got a film that costs a lot of money, you need to offset it. You don't want to blow all the money yourself, do you?
Yeah, because more risk in it. If it costs 140, you're going to go, if you put in 70, we'll stick in 70.
Don't worry, we'll stick in 70. No, we won't. Just say, don't worry, Jim, we'll pay you a pay. We won't.
Because it obviously didn't get the sequel, it kind of isn't the normal happy ending story sorted film that I'd pick, is it?
It is, Coulson. Is it? It is a happy ending. I mean, they are dead, but the parents are dead, but the children,
they get away and they get their money, don't they?
But they've still got Count Olaf after them.
Well, we only know that because there's other books. I didn't. I had no idea. I thought that series that are out on Netflix now, I thought that was just the film told again.
What about Jude Law having it off?
What do you mean?
He did well there.
He's in the whole of the film. He's only in one set. No face. Bit of tinky tinky on the typewriter.
That was probably because he did six films that year. So that was probably why that he's not really in it.
What's this film mean to you, Coulson?
So I remember watching it at the cinema with my dad and my sister, and I remember going
in. You'd have been six.
That happy elf. I thought that's what we were watching.
Yeah.
So when the voiceover goes, if you want to watch a film about a happy elf, I think there's still some seats in Screen 4. I went, shit, Dad, we need to get to Screen 4 because this is going to be scary. This is not what I signed up for. This isn't. It's surely we should be watching the happy elf.
Yeah.
And then I remember watching it and being petrified.
Really?
Oh, really? It scared the shit out of me. But I think watching it now, obviously, I find it more comical and enjoyable than I do scary. But Jim Carrey's character, the makeup, it is. It's probably a staple piece of my childhood because that came out in America and they piled the money into it.
Yeah.
It must have been a massive film that year. Jim Carrey was big. You know, I remember I watched him in Bruce Almighty. That was like the first thing that I'd properly seen him in and was like, okay, I like him. And I wouldn't have had them as the same person. I wouldn't have watched that film thinking it was a Jim Carrey film because the makeup is that good and the characters are that good. You kind of don't notice it. So I think, it's one of those childhood memories that kind of hasn't aged.
Did you come out
crying?
So if
it's not aged, what would you rate it then?
Ooh, segue.
Well, I mean, you've basically said what it all means to you. And
Very good.
A seven.
A seven?
A solid film. Because, it's a solid, solid film. The memory of it being a solid, good film that scared me, and now watching it, appreciating Carrey, appreciating everything that went into it, the way it looks, the way it's put together, that's what would make it better. I'm changing to 7.5. I know that's not in the T's and C's that we can do that, but I am changing to 7.5.
7.5, okay. Yeah, you can do what you want, kid. Go for it. It's your rating. 7.5.
Mine's Jack? A 7.5.
Oh, hello. Hello.
I thought after I watched it, I've seen it a couple of times. I've seen it with the kids. I watched it when it came out. And I've never thought it's a bad film.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No, there's not. The acting's there. The obviously, I haven't read the books, and I know producer Ben is a big fan of the books, so when the film comes out, it's completely different to the books, and that happens all the time, doesn't it? Classic case. But for me, I liked it. Looks great, like you said, Coles. Spent a lot of money. Carey, comedy genius. Story bobs along. Yeah, 7.5.
It's one of those films, they put a lot of care into it. Carey's very good. The kids are very good. There's not a weak link there. Spall's great. All the cast are great. The story's proved to be good. The makeup's very good. I think it's a solid film, even if you think about it, how long ago it was. Do you know what I might do here? Mm. I might break my own tradition.
7.5.
Because you can't give it a 7 and you can't give it an 8.
An 8. So I've gone 7.5.
The only reason, people might be thinking, the only reason I'm not going like 8, 9, 10, because I've basically not found a flaw in the film. What it doesn't do is it doesn't hit me emotionally. It's not something I think about after I've watched the film. It's not something I take away.
It's not the extreme of creepy. Recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the extreme of creepy. It's not the extreme of sad. It's not the extreme of funny. It just covers the basis of all of them, doesn't it? Nicely.
Yes.
But then again, it's a film aimed at kids.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a solid film. Maybe that's why, though, Jack. Maybe you've pinpointed why it didn't do better. Because it didn't quite have...
Push the envelope.
They pushed the emotional content with those children. Maybe Carey...
When you think about it, everything is there from day one. The parents are dead.
Yes.
So... You should already be into that emotional thing, but
I wonder whether that sometimes that Count Olaf and Carey overshone the kids so much in the story that you couldn't let that bit out. All you were focusing on really is Carey doing his bit.
I never felt sorry for the kids though at any one point. I never thought, oh, I really do feel sorry for them.
No,
I never did.
I didn't feel I had enough time of them being orphaned. I just felt we came into the story and they were picked up by the banker.
It does move quickly.
And they move
quickly.
You can
tell it's three books put into an hour and 40, can't you?
Yeah.
They've done very well. Look, so what's that altogether?
7.5. I'd 7.5.
22.5. 22.5. Solid.
Solid. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Steady away. Lemony steady.
That's the first time I think we've ever all gave the same score.
Yeah.
It's got to be. That's got to be a sofa.
It's the first time I've given any kind of half measure.
Yeah.
I might go 0.25 next week.
0.001 for me, Papadopoulos has said. I've watched it again. I'm giving it a 0.001.
Speaking of next week, what are we watching?
So, me and Ben only decided today, actually. He texted me and was like, shit, we need to think of a film.
Film now.
So, I thought... So, what have we done? We've done sci-fi, haven't we? We've done...
Massive success, wasn't it? Sci-fi.
Sci-fi, yeah, massive success.
Don't be like that.
We've done foreign film. So, I
subtitles.
Thought...
Subtitles.
I thought we'd go thriller next week.
Ooh.
Something... Yeah, thriller slash... It's not really a horror, it's a thriller, really. Big film, Oscar-winning film, Silence of the Lambs.
Hannibal Lecter.
That's it.
That's it.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oof, good.
You're I think I've read it.
Have you?
Yeah. I think I've read all the books. I can't believe that. I've actually read it. Creepy. Obviously, I've seen the film. Mint.
I only know... About Hannibal Lecter, because, you know, Jack, you put that 7 psychopaths thing on Instagram.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I only knew 2 of them. So when I was... everyone was saying that, like, their number one was Hannibal Lecter. So I Googled him and read that it's Anthony Hopkins.
It is.
And that he was in 3 films. And I didn't recognise the name of the first film. And then I went, Silence of the Lambs. That's got to be the film.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're watching that.
Yeah.
Nice one. Mm.
It kind of is... Ahead of its time, isn't it, if he's wearing a face mask? Right.
On that note.
Yes, if you want to keep in touch throughout the week, our social medias are at Sofa Cinema Club on Twitter and Instagram. Until then, leave us a review, be nice, and we'll see you back here next week. Good
next
night,
week.
God bless.
Good night.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.